As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Real quick before we start the show, just wanted to let you guys know you can get the show 2 days early by joining our Patreon. Even for a buck, you can listen to the show 2 days early. Go to patreon.com/analogtalk and we got a bunch of stuff over there. Check it out and enjoy the episode.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Analog Talk, a film photography podcast. I'm your host Chris.
I'm Tim.
And on today's show we have Vince Perry Jr. Hello, Vince.
Hello, hello. It is the summertime.
I'm it here. Is. Yeah, we're all nice feeling hot.
Nice to be here.
Super excited to have you on the show, Vince, but for our listeners who may not know you, do you mind giving us a background on who you are and how you got into photography?
Yeah, I can definitely do that. I won't take too long because I feel like everyone's origin story can be like a really long one, or it can be like kind of short. So I'll
you
go
can
for
give us the long
like
version. You can give us the long
like
version.
Something in the middle. You might want to be careful because sometimes when I talk, I just don't shut up. I just like keep going. But
we'll ask one question. That's the whole podcast.
I feel like with photography, I was like around it for quite a while before I actually dove in myself. I actually didn't start shooting till late summer 2016. So yeah, now it's like 5 years almost. Yeah, 5 years since I've been shooting. But kind of prior to that, a lot of my close friends were photographers, kind of like more hobbyists around kind of like the golden age of Tumblr. I'd say like 2011, like 2014. We were just like taking photos of, you know, different things like just still life stuff, just kind of like streetwear and fashion and things like that. And at that time, I was just like hopping in front of the camera whenever like they were shooting, and it was like, oh, like this would be cool to like post to Instagram, because I've been on the platform since like 2011 too. So like kind of, I guess, early adopter of the platform.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just like one of those things where it was like, let's make some cool photos and just kind of put them out there on the net. And it wasn't really for anything except for just like the joy. And then kind of like a couple years before that, I would say my whole introduction to cameras really kind of came through doing video, actually, because I do both. And it was just like a lot of editing and like Windows Movie Maker. And we were kind of just filming on just like your standard camcorder, like back in the day, just doing like dance videos. So I would say like kind of the creativity of that emerged from like being around my friends and everything. It just kind of evolved to everything it is today. So since 2016, I bought my first camera. It was like a Canon 80D. And it was just like a moment of like, okay, I'm making enough money to actually afford this hobby, because we all know it's expensive.
Oh my gosh.
Especially shooting film. But I didn't come around to film until I think it was maybe spring of 2018, but I didn't really, I guess, reintroduce myself to the format until, say, late 2017, because it's like, oh, you know, back in the day when we were, like, kids and everything, we had, like, those disposable cameras that we were shooting whenever we went on holiday or, you know, we're going to theme parks, et cetera. But it just didn't occur to me, like, that's what that was. It was just at the time, that's just whatever we used. And the first film camera I bought was a Canon AE-1 program. I got it off, like, OfferUp for, like, $150. It came with the body, like, a 50mm lens, this bag, a couple flashes, and some film. And it was just, like, one of those things where it was, like, let me just have this camera alongside me shooting, like, all my digital work so it could be, like, oh, this could be the fun camera to kind of play around with to get, like, you know, that quote-unquote film look. And that's just, like, what it was, like, at the time. And, you know, I didn't really know too much about it. It was just kind of just diving in. So I guess on the basis of medium, that's kind of how I've floated around there. But in terms of, like, what I've shot from then until now, I feel like it's been more or less kind of the same things. It's just, like, evolved a bit. From early on, I think because, like, I was so much in front of the camera and I was, like, with my friends, you know, we just were essentially documenting, like, all these moments of us hanging out together or traveling together and, yeah, just having fun. So, you know, shooting, like, portraits has always been a place of interest for me. And I just find a lot of joy in, like, learning people. And I'm sure you guys know that owning a camera has afforded us so many different opportunities to meet people that we would never meet if we had not picked up the camera. You know, like, that's literally, like, why we're here right now, which is little things like that is why I always refer back to. So, you know, I've shoot portraits. In the last couple of years, I've got more into fashion, and more recently it's kind of picked up for me, you know, just as the world has opened up and everything like that a little bit, you know, little by little. Do a lot of travel photography when I'm, you know, able to travel, and it's, that's kind of been something more recently that I've gotten, I guess, a little bit more back into. And then I'd say I don't know if I'd, the more and more I think about it, I don't know if I'd consider myself, like, an official street photographer, but, like, occasionally I do shoot street, and this one genre of photography that I do enjoy. I don't think I participate in it a lot, like, myself, more or less, I guess, on, like, a day-to-day, unless it's just, like, iPhone stuff. But I feel like for me, it kind of tends to happen more so whenever I'm traveling, because you get to kind of capture that essence of, you know, the perspective and stuff of, you know, like, when you're in these different cities, and just kind of, like, holding on to those moments. So
so what drew you to fashion? Because I feel like anybody, we've talked to plenty of photographers on this show, but, like, people who do fashion and do it well, like, that's a skill.
Yeah, I think what's just, like, I guess, like, drawn me to it is, I feel like when you're, okay, I guess starting off, like, shooting portraiture, you know, you kind of, portraiture is different in a way compared to fashion in the sense of, like, portraiture, like, we almost see it as capturing, like, someone's, like, true essence, right, of, like, who they are. And what always kind of drew me to people was, like, their style. And even when you're kind of just doing, like, street portraits, or you may see somebody on social media with a certain style or whatever that you like, I feel like I have always kind of gone after those people that had, like, this natural sense of style that I was, like, attracted to. And then I guess it's just, like, kind of, like, evolved. It's, like, from early on, people have always been in front of my lens. And I guess with, even in fashion, I still like to have that essence of that, okay, yeah, we may be shooting this type of, like, clothing, but the person in front of the lens is, like, so important to me. And I think it's, like, that whole portrait side where I still want that stuff that I'm shooting to feel like it's real. Because I feel like sometimes within fashion, sometimes things can be a little bit too far-fetched, like, for my own taste, where it doesn't feel like it's real. So I'm always doing a little bit of a dance there. But I'd say in the last couple months, like, I've been down in LA working and everything, and I'll actually be out there in a couple weeks back to do some more work. It's like, I want to say, like, 2019, I was heading very strong in that direction. And, you know, obviously things happened, you know, the next year. So it was kind of like, I guess the path kind of just got delayed a little bit and slowed down, because with fashion, it's like you have to have a team to do it. And I guess in a way, I was doing it not necessarily like high fashion, but more kind of like street style, in a way where I'll go to a Goodwill or I'll go to a vintage shop and I'll actually buy the clothes that maybe that I want to shoot, and I'll style somebody in it, or even my own wardrobe, I'll put somebody in those clothing, you know, that I think it'll, whoever it'll fit with, not necessarily the fit of the clothes, but just like the type of look. So I guess I've shot a lot of women and menswear before, like always kind of like that look. I feel like there's something just about a woman like in a suit,
yeah,
like, and just yeah. like killing it. I feel like yeah. women wear suits better than men.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, I love
that total look. And it's not, I'm not shooting that like all the time, but that's like one of those things that I think about is yeah. like so pure in fashion. So yeah, just kind of like, I guess, curating from my own closet, you know, from going out to thrift or even you know, reaching out to people to shoot like portraits, but then I'm like, hey, can you send a selection of clothes? And then like, let me help kind of curate that down. And then getting into the whole like location scouting side of it, that's like, always love those things to mesh. Cause like, I don't want somebody to necessarily show up in an outfit that doesn't quite fit the location, especially yeah. like color palette wise. So I guess those little details continue to add on. And then just trying to see what more I can do within photography, because I feel like my interest in it is so vast, but all of the different genres just has, you know, led to like what it is now, and kind of just taking the whole application and just applying it to like the fashion stuff, you know, different techniques and stuff like that. So yeah, it's a lot of fun.
So I'm fascinated by that. Do you think you could ever like take a job as a stylist?
Oh no.
No, because I really feel like that's like such a like a specific thing yeah. that you're doing, you know, like that's usually a whole separate job on a photo shoot. Yeah, forget yeah, like yeah. the photographer doing that. That's
yeah.
that's crazy to me. And I saw that in one of your videos where you're like, yeah, I had her, you know, pulled some things from my closet. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun to do. I don't know. I'm definitely not at a level to where I think I'd be comfortable with taking on a job, because it's, I don't know if it's like an imposter thing, but it's like,
sure.
you know, there's obviously people that really do it.
Right,
like,
for real,
I'm kind of yeah. just doing it yeah. because like in some instances, like I have to, you know, to yeah. kind of get, you know, what I'm going for. But I have toyed with the idea of like, well, it would kind of be cool to learn more about that. I don't know if that's necessarily becoming like someone's assistant or just even doing yeah. it like a little bit. I think totally. In some way, like it would be fun, because I think when you understand what it takes, I guess, for that side to work, it just gives you more appreciation, you know, for the people that are obviously doing it on a way high level. But I think it's almost kind of good to like know a little bit about, you know, what everyone is doing like on your team. Like I've never done makeup, but like if for some reason one day I just like yeah. got into it, like that would actually be kind of cool to like be able to do all of those things.
Oh,
but
that's great.
I guess the good thing though about having other people that can do it is, you know, you can just focus on the photography side.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And yeah, you just bring everyone together and, you know, everyone gets better that way. But yeah, styling is fun. It's a whole thing in itself, and yeah, it's way cool.
But I also feel like when you're looking at one of your photos, everybody knows like this is your vision, you know, like it's yeah. nobody else's hand is there. It's like all you, which yeah. is cool.
I think the only thing about it is sometimes is, I guess if you're only working with your ideas, you can just really get trapped within those, you know?
Oh, like, wow. Yeah.
Having other people come together, like on the team that can provide that input and kind of be that little bit of like a soundboard to create ideas is really powerful. And I think that's the one way you can really kind of, I guess, step out of your shell or just kind of continue to push the envelope on, you know, what you're doing. And I feel like this year, over the last like couple months, as things have kind of like picked up for me, that's kind of one thing that I've challenged myself is to really just be open and, you know, just kind of seeing what's what and just learn along the way. And yeah, just try to maximize everything that I'm doing and yeah, get everyone involved and have everyone feel valued as well. That's like super important for me, like everyone's input on there, like, you know, yeah. everyone is gonna have their stamp on, you know, what it is that we're doing. So big team guy. That's just like my background of like playing sports and stuff, like
yeah, yeah.
all my life. So
that's crazy, because like I mean, both of you're very portrait oriented, like that's what, you know, you guys do a lot. I'm not I wish I was, because like I really do love taking portraits and hearing you talk about styling and stuff like that. And it's coming from my perspective on the little bit of portrait work that I have done, style has never been a thought in my mind. Just thinking about that, and it just amazes me, that because there's just so much involved in a shoot regardless, you know what I mean? And then to be like, oh, okay, let's move on to the second outfit. That would be the last thing that would go through my mind. And it just like, it makes me almost amazed that you guys can fill that space you know, with things that need, I mean, that's why I'm not a professional, you know, photographer, is because I don't have that mental checklist of, hey, send me a couple outfits. Oh, this location's great. I'm one of those guys that's like, all right, this is what I got. Let's make the best out of it. So it's just really cool.
I feel like you could be like literally one step there. I feel like people that just shoot like any type of scenes, like street scenes or landscapes, like the only piece you're missing is just a person to put in the frame. And I feel like the compositions and stuff that I see from people that shoot within that genre of photography, I'm just like, wow, if you just put someone there, that would make it just go over the top. I'm like, this is just, it's a strong image, of course, that, you know, people are creating, but I'm like, there's another element that you can even add by just like bringing this into the fold, and it doesn't have to like be crazy and stuff. I feel like what I've taken for, I guess, from shooting like landscape stuff and like street stuff is just like a lot of like compositional things I've added into the portrait or like the fashion stuff, and that just makes it like what it is. Like simple things of like having something like in the foreground. I feel like that's something you really see with a lot of people that shoot landscapes, that kind of like make things interesting, to, you know, kind of create a lot of depth and stuff like in the shot. So yeah, you're not too far off.
Sweet.
Yeah, I definitely think you could try your hand at it, Timothy.
Yeah, I got, especially now that, you know, times are finally, I wouldn't say they're getting back to normal, but they're getting somewhere. So
yeah,
maybe soon.
So Vince, do you have any travel plans coming up now that things are sort of going back to normal? I know like the London project was super cool. Like,
oh yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I just, it's funny, one of the people that I actually like featured in one of the videos just commented on like the video like yesterday. And it's like, oh, like that was just like from a year ago that I uploaded it, but it was actually, it's almost, been almost 2 years now since I set out to like do that. Cause when I published it like on YouTube and just like on Instagram, at that point, I had already had the work and everything for a year. But I was just at the point of like, okay, there's other stuff that I want to put out like before this to kind of just create a little bit of traction, for myself. But, as far as travel, yeah. So I've been down to LA, like twice, like kind of like the right at the end of March, beginning of April, and then May. And then I was going to go in June, but I'm like backlogged with everything that I shot. So I don't know if I would consider so much going down there as like a kind of like a standard travel. Cause it's more so like work driven.
Yeah.
Even though I do get a little bit of time to hang out and stuff and like eat, but it's just, it's kind of like, oh, a quick trip. Like I'm here, let's plan everything. And then like, you know, let's just make it happen. And yeah, I do want to continue to go down there to work, because like for everything I'm doing, it's just, Chris, you know, it's just like down there is different.
Yeah.
And it's one thing, access is just a big thing, but going back to the original question is, traveling. I would like to go back to London. I don't know if that's actually going to be possible this year. I don't think it will be, because I've just been keeping in touch with all my friends there. And yeah, it kind of seems like they'll like reopen and then like kind of close and kind of like a little bit back and forth. So I'm not too sure. I know there's some countries right now that are letting U.S. citizens and stuff in, but I don't really feel like the list is that vast. Like I'm vaccinated and everything, so like at this point I do feel comfortable with doing that.
Right.
I guess it's just a matter of like timing. I'm just dying to go international again. Like, yeah, I haven't really made any plans to, I don't know. Yeah, it's been so weird like the last year and a half to not really think about us travel as much. And I feel like throughout all of my life, travel has been such an important part of, I guess, just character development. Sounds like this is like some narrative story, but just like the development of myself, like as a person, and then, you know, creativity too as well. It's nice getting out and around and just kind of breaking out of, you know, your routine. And I think it's super important to be able to do that, because we get caught up so much in the day to day of, you know, what it is. And sometimes that kind of gets in the way of us making photos. But I mean, if I could just jump on a plane now, like I feel like top three, it would, I guess, be going back to places that I've been before. It's like London, Berlin, I especially love, also dear to my heart, and Tokyo. That would probably be my top three, like out of the country, like right now.
Yeah, that's like it'd be solid three right there. I like that.
It'd be nice to like go to New York. I guess I, right at the end of June, I just turned 27. So I just went down to Portland.
Happy birthday.
Which is not too, thank you so much. not too far from Seattle. And it's kind of sad because, I've been living over here for almost 3 years, but since I've moved, I haven't drove down there for whatever reason. which is, I don't know why, but I've been to Portland like prior, but it's just like one of those things. So I was like, man, we just forget it. Like, let's just go. I don't know. Sometimes like when I'm like at home, I just feel like there's so much like going on to where like, I can't even take a step away sometimes, but you know, yeah, gotta take care of ourselves. But yeah, Portland, I'll probably go down there a couple times. Like, I just like to go down to like Oregon coast, which is like cool, but yeah, not anywhere in specific. I haven't been home in a while to Florida, so maybe that's in the cards, but not any super big trips.
I haven't been home either since like before COVID, which is crazy. I'm actually going back east for my cousin's wedding. It's I'll be on like the East Coast, hang out with my family. It's gonna be wild.
Cool.
Can't wait. Can you like bring us back? Like, how did the London project come about? Was that something you started doing while you were there, or did you kind of have that planned before you went?
Yeah, it was, I felt like it was, I don't know. I didn't know exactly like what I was going to do when I went there. Like, I didn't know that's what it was going to be.
Yeah.
I think maybe somewhere subconsciously, I knew I was working on something, but I didn't know it was going to be like the London project. I thought maybe it would just be a lot of like little individual things, more or less kind of with the portrait stuff I was doing with everyone. And this all, basically everything that I've put out for it took place August 2019, just over a span of like 7 days, really everything that I did. That's
crazy.
Yeah, it was just like short amount of time.
Jeez.
Wow.
And but the first time I went there was 2018. I did like a little 2-week excursion to continental Europe. I don't know, since London, the whole area is not in the EU, but I did like London for the first time in 2018 for like 5 days, and my experience there was just, it was amazing. It was just like a really good time.
I can only imagine.
It was like, I guess I just had a really strong interaction and everything like with the people there, and I'm just like a huge people person. Like, no matter where you're at, like as long as you have the right people around you and you're doing life with some great people, that's what's going to shape your experience more so than the actual location. But it's just, you know, it happened to be London for me. And you know, after London, I you know, spent those couple days there. It was just like really hanging out. It was just like a little solo trip, 2 weeks. I did London, Paris, Bruges, Brussels, Cologne, and Berlin, and then I came back home. But at this time I was living in Salt Lake City, Utah, and it was kind of like right at the end of when I was heading out. So I just think kind of some things that were going on in my life kind of created the opportunity for me to fully embrace, I guess, the quote unquote London experience. And it was a really good time. So I was like, wow, I had such a good time. I want to go back again, 2019. Mm. Kind of around the same time. So I went and reconnected with some people, met a ton of like new people. And in 2019, I've, like, those people I connected with, majority of them I still talk to, like, now. Mm. One of my good friends, Joshua Simpson, I met him in 2018 when I was there. And then, like, 2019, like, we hung out. He came and, like, filmed some BTS stuff for, like, one of my shoots. And we just got dinner and everything. And kind of since that point, we've grown like really close. And it's not like we're talking about like photography every day. We're just talking like normal people.
Your friends.
You know, so it's like, it's just such a beautiful thing. And I'm like a super like kind of like sentimental, sensitive in that way. Like, just, I don't know. I just feel a lot of things. So those type of like interactions and stuff for me, I'm just like, wow, like this is like what it means to truly be living or whatever. So I went out there, and I guess I was kind of pushed to shoot as much as I did, because when I moved to Seattle, I was having like a very hard time of navigating that space. You know, I wasn't able to be as creative as I wanted to be, and I felt very limited because of one thing that I mentioned earlier, is just like access. Kind of just, I guess, polar opposite is like when I've gone down to LA, you know, obviously everyone comes down there to, you know, a little bit do the same things. So when those right opportunities come up, people really jump on those. And as opposed to like reaching out for people here, at least in my personal experience, it wasn't really received, you know, I guess openly, or just, I don't know. It just wasn't very welcoming for me.
Yeah.
And I think it kind of just put me in a place like, well, damn, like, can I still even like do this like the way that I want to do it? And then
not good feelings.
It was just, it was weird. It was just so weird, because it's like, okay, well, you shoot portraits. Like, how do you shoot portraits? Obviously, like with people, but then it's like, okay, nobody like wants to like shoot or whatever. And but I'm just like, wow, this just wasn't how it was for me in Salt Lake either. Like, it was just a very strong, like, creative community. And yeah, I guess it's just like, it was hard to like kind of break in, and I still feel the same way. So that basically pushed me towards doing a lot of like agency tests and working with agency talent, because it's like more or less like, okay, you contact the booker to try to like shoot and everything.
Yeah.
More or less kind of like then going through Instagram. Now, I do a little bit of both, but it was just like one of those things of like, okay, like I really want to work with some people that are like doing it for real, because right. like this is like what I'm trying to do. So essentially, I kind of got warmed up to it summer 2019 in Seattle, and then I went out to London and did the same thing, but like 10x'd
yeah.
what I was
That's
doing.
So cool.
And, yeah, I basically just set a whole bunch of stuff up, and I was like, let me just shoot photos and video, and like, you know, let's do like a couple looks. You know, I actually didn't have to plan too much for the shoots. I was just like, okay, I just want to have someone come here at this location, and then maybe I kind of chat with them a little bit before the shoot and stuff like that. And then along with that, I did a little bit of street and kind of like just some landscape stuff, like travel photography. And yeah, I just did that over the span of like, you know, the 7 days, came on home, and just was really moved by my experience. And I took a step back to really like take in what I created and like really live with the work, you know?
Yeah.
It wasn't like one of those things like, okay, let me just go and shoot it. And then like, you know, a couple weeks later, it's just like on Instagram or whatever, or YouTube. I was just like, damn, like this is like really something. And then I think at the time when I come back, just kind of being a consumer of YouTube and just like, I guess, trying to be really involved in the community, just like naturally, of photography, even more specifically film. I think around that time, a lot of people were talking about projects and kind of like that longevity in print and zines and books and stuff. And I was like, wow, like I've never really had anybody like talk to me about this stuff. Like I was just like taking photos or whatever. Like it was fun, but I was like, wow, this is a way I can see a direction with all this London stuff. So I was like, okay, like this is what I'm going to do. And the photos were done like a good bit before the videos came out, but I was like, well, I don't want to just put the photos out. Like I need the video aspect of this stuff so it marries up.
Yeah.
And it kind of creates the narrative that I want to create. But then that kind of just goes, I guess, to my filmmaking background. It's just like, I think the way that I did it, or the way that I wanted to do it, I felt like I was able to create a little bit more of a stronger impact with the people that were like taking it in. And then one thing I didn't want to do was I didn't want to sit down and tell people about like what I did. I just wanted to show them whatever I captured and just put it out there. Like literally for my videos, there's times where like I'm in the video, times that I'm not. Like there's not really, it's kind of like mysterious, like in a way.
Yes.
And yeah
I think
there's I love there's no like caption or introduction on the video.
Yeah, it's just like just boom. Happens. And I don't know, I'm a little bit weird, I'm kind of weird that way, where I kind of like those things like that, where it's like, well, if you're really paying attention, you know, you might actually catch what it is like I'm trying to communicate. And through different parts, like, you know, do just like how we're talking today through podcasts and different interviews and stuff, I think I've added words and stuff to the context, but I haven't really brought it to the forefront, I guess, of where it's already been placed out. So yeah, I just, whatever I filmed literally is like all that I had. I didn't add any additional voiceover or you know, additional talking. I think on the last video, I just like added some text, because I was like, well, that feels like pretty organic for this specific thing. So yeah, I think for like 6 months or so, like that's pretty much all I focused on like putting out. And yeah, it was just like a lot of fun. And all I really tried to do was just like pay homage to just like my experience and just try to do it like justice. You know, we talked about traveling a little bit earlier. And one thing I always aim to do is like, I don't want to go to a place. Like I went there to take photos, right? But it's like, I don't want to just like take from the place. It's like, I want to give to it too as well. And just, you know, just try to respect, I guess, that whole side. Like I'm not somebody just coming in to just take advantage, but I'm like thoroughly invested in it as like a person. And I just really tried to communicate that through, and as a result, I've met way more people like out that way. And
it's just been
hella fun. So it was just kind of like a it was just like a very important time like in my life as just like a person and as an artist. Yeah, tons of fun. It's like an ongoing thing. I think that'll just be like basically the first installment, and then then I'll probably just do a second one. Mm-hmm. And then I guess the second one would be like more so like in the light of how I would tell it. It would be like more involved process. I don't know exactly like how it looks yet, but I've definitely, I guess since that time, I guess for anyone out there listening, one good tip for like shooting portraits or wanting to shoot with people in general is really building a rapport. That's like super important mm-hmm. for me. So even if it's someone you think you may want to work with somewhere down the line, it might be good to kind of like, you know, just be around and just have conversation with them like as a person. Cause I think when the time comes, you know, for you guys to like actually shoot, there's not going to be any catching up, or you're not going to miss a beat at all. You're just kind of going to hit the ground running. And I've done that in a lot of situations with people, even people like out in Japan and stuff. And yeah, it's just really cool. So like there's already people and stuff in mind that I'd want to get back to work with and work with again, and then new people. And I think I'm at a point like right now too, where like maybe I'm ready to finally put the zine together, I guess, from the first installment. And kind of see like how it is, because like, I feel like over the last 2 years I've gotten a lot better at curating like my own work and putting stuff together and understanding just how to even piece that stuff together. Because I think even on YouTube I share like way more photos than I probably typically would, like on Instagram for the most part. Like for the whole project mostly I shared pretty much all the images I shot, even images I thought that were just kind of I was just like let me just put it out there, because it's just like a documentation of like all this. So yeah, on top of shooting,
I like that,
like people too, just like I mentioned earlier, I think I did shoot a little bit of street and landscape stuff too, like kind of travel stuff. So like I had one idea before, like how I would piece everything together, but even so now I think I've kind of gained a little bit more experience, especially kind of just doing some of the work that I've done in the last couple months.
You mentioned you reached out to agencies. Are they open to that? If you reach out to an agency like, hey, I would love to book some work with some of your models, are they like, we have our people, or like how do you find that?
Yeah, that's a question I get a lot. I was supposed to make a video on that like last year. I planned it out and wrote it out and everything, but I feel like now I'll get back around to doing it, and I think I can provide a lot more value on that whole process, especially because it's like this is what I'm experiencing more of now, actually in the moment of doing it too. They're open, but one thing I tell everyone is you need to just have the portfolio for it.
Right.
Because the agency is not gonna, they're not going to just send someone out there to like a photographer that they might not have faith in, like, because it's like everyone's time, you know, it's like the agency's time, them actually doing the booking, the model's time. And it's like, okay, if a model is like out on tests, then that means they can't be booked for like the paid work. You know, that's like an option that they're not going to have for that day of the week or whatever. So I would say getting in, it could be a little bit, it could be a little bit difficult at first, like getting in. I'd say just because you're probably not the only person reaching out to test.
Sure.
So
I would say
I would say like just continue to reach out, because even still now sometimes like I don't get responses, and that's totally fine. Like some these agents and everything are, they're super busy, but I guess along with doing it, if you continue to reach out to one specific agency or just continue.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
You to reach out to maybe a few and you build that relationship with them, that can be something that's really fruitful. For example, Freedom Models, like LA, the first time I shot with them was like 2019, early fall, I think. And I shot with like three of the girls, and yeah, everything like just went really good and stuff like that. And basically since that point, that booker, I've kind of like just kept in contact with. And since I've been back, especially because it's been like in back-to-back months or whatever, so I've like booked quite a bit of talent between those times. It's kind of like, yeah, just been like an ongoing thing. And they know, like, I guess, you know, what I'm bringing to the table. And you know, they definitely want to see the consistency outside of like what you're doing. But I guess once you kind of build that relationship, or a booker, even from an agency you maybe never shot with, has like found you, they'll definitely reach out. Cause I've gotten emails and stuff from bookers and stuff too, like directly from them. And then sometimes they just add you to a MailChimp list.
Right.
For like,
yeah.
Oh, we have this person like in town. So yeah, it's super fun. And I think it's, yeah, one of those cool things you can do to just really like build your book and build your portfolio. And I feel like that's definitely what I've been doing more so recently, especially like having a year like how we did last year. So It's like a lot of what I was doing before halted, and then it's like, okay, kind of like picking back up, just even more like understanding and I guess more maturity and growth outside of like, yeah, just the photography side. So yeah, just reach out, be professional too, like that's another thing within like this industry, is so, not even just like portrait or fashion, whatever, just commercial industry of like photography, I'll just say photography as whole, the relationship side is so important. You know, like you just never know how that little bit of interaction you had with someone can stay with them, or you know, whatever. You know, a lot of people know the same people and stuff too. So if you're working with agencies, definitely just keep the professionalism and just like, yeah, turn out the good work, and a lot of opportunities and stuff thing can like come from that, because I feel like it's a whole ecosystem within itself. So
totally. Yeah.
When they're reaching out to you now, is that through Instagram, or is there like a specific place that you post your work where they find you, or just for anybody who's trying to break into that?
Yeah, for sure. I would say social media, like I have my email and stuff like in my bio, so it's been mostly through email. But then like I've had a friend where a booker like DM'd him, and if you start developing the relationship with those bookers, just like follow them on Instagram. You know, they can just see what you're doing too as well, especially like you've already had that foundation of like, oh, we're emailing back and forth, or we've gotten on the phone and like talked. And sometimes too, they may ask like to meet you or whatever, like just fully dive into that, you know, just build relationships. Yeah, I think that's like pretty solid. I want to say probably at this point, I've probably done, I'd say somewhere between like maybe like 35 to like 45, like model tests, like with agencies, like over maybe since like 2019. Dang. Just agency ones though. It might be a little bit more. I don't remember. So it's somewhere around there. So yeah, you can kind of just see like how it flows. Some people are lucky enough to get an opportunity to do like paid tests. But I think that's, you have to be at that good point where it's like, okay, you've probably shot with their talent like long enough, and they want you to shoot with, you know, everyone new that's coming into the agency, because with all of that work that they're doing, it's like, okay, yeah, we may come together and do it on an accord that maybe it's free, but the talent, they're gonna, if it makes their book or not, it's gonna it's definitely gonna help them book more gigs, and if they're staying busy, that's good for everyone. So yeah, it's just one of those things.
So cool. Yeah. So Vince, we just had another photographer / filmmaker, our last guest, Caleb. I asked him this question. Do you consider yourself, like, what are you drawn to more, photo or video?
It's a good split.
Okay.
I do think about this a lot though. And I'm like, I just ask myself sometimes, I'm like, well, if I had to do like one, like, what would I do? You know? And sometimes I'm like, I feel like maybe I would lean more on the video side because I'm like, well,
interesting.
I technically can still have photos if I pull the stills.
Yeah.
From the thing.
Yeah.
Then I can also have the motion. But it's with video, there's so much more that you can like add to it, right?
Yeah.
There's like sound design, there's the type of editing you're doing, the pacing. I feel like for me, I can really create a lot of like strong emotion, and I think because I do both, especially like shooting like fashion films and stuff, and I shoot the stills too as well, it's like, okay, you may see the stills, but then when you see the motion too, like, it'll just make it a stronger story to where you can really feel like everything it was that maybe I was trying to like give that maybe didn't get communicated through to the photos. But I they're both near and dear.
That's okay. I like that. And if you know, I get asked a lot, living in LA and even back home, like, can you do video? Like, anytime I was hired for a photo shoot, they were like, well, can you shoot video too? Yeah. And I was like, no, I'm like not even close. I could never, like, that's such a, I mean, I just learned photography, you know. I didn't really, yeah. I mean, I'm messing around with my YouTube channel and stuff like that, but I still don't feel like, I would rather have like a team and direct something versus like me, myself shooting it. So that's good that you're, you know, doing both.
All it takes is flipping the camera. Like, if you're using a digital one, of course, you can't do it with a film one, but all it takes is just flipping the dial. And, for anyone that has interest on that, whatever scene you're shooting, just literally the same composition and everything that you're doing, just turn it over to video, and just, it could just be like a still shot with like no movement, or you can just like add a little bit of movement and stuff in there. But yeah, it's definitely 50-50. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Man, so when you were shooting all that stuff in London, all the video, were you already doing YouTube at that time?
Yeah. So, okay. I've been on YouTube like for a good hot minute. Like,
all right.
I think I started my channel like January 1st, 2017, because I was like, oh, this year, like, I'm going to get on YouTube. And then I think I just had like a couple like vlog stuff, things like that. And then it was just like, I guess from 2017 to like late 2018 or something like that, I would just like upload things that I was making. It wasn't necessarily like kind of like me in front of the camera as a personality. It was just like, oh, like, I went here and I just like shot a little travel video. Or like, before I even knew what I was doing, I was already like doing like these portrait shoots and stuff, and I was just like filming the people I was shooting, and I was just like, hey, like, just do this, or like, walk this way. Or one thing I like to do is like, or one thing I like to say when I do the shoots and stuff, I'm just like, okay, so we're gonna shoot some video too, but it's really just going to be like the photos, but just think motion with like what we're doing. Yeah. Just think more fluidness, and then we'll have a little bit of direction and stuff, or a little bit more added direction. And it's kind of fun because it's like a little bit of a dance. I say that like all the time, even with photography too, like when you're shooting people, it's 100% like a dance. It's like, you're only going to get as much as what the other person is, you know, going to give you. And you got to know how to like kind of cut into that and kind of bring that out. But, damn, I've lost the original question for what I was trying to go through. But anyway, yeah, it's just like, it's fun. So
yeah, that's cool. I was saying to Chris before we hopped on here, I was like, I found you through your RB67 video.
Okay. Now I remember.
Yeah.
There we go. There's the YouTube. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just, because I remember you, I don't know if you were teasing the London thing and saying that
I was.
You would shot. Yeah. I just remember that. Yeah. And I, you know, I obviously didn't catch much. Yeah, that's how you find people on YouTube. You know, you're searching one of your favorite cameras.
Yeah,
it happens. And next thing you know, you find 10 new photography channels that you didn't know existed. And it's like, I just remember like, man, he doesn't only have one, he has two. Like, what? Come on.
Oh, yeah. It was, is a wild time.
Both of the
RBs, it's so wild with YouTube. It's a funny place for me because it's like, I feel like I make so much stuff, it's actually very hard for me to like try to keep up with, I guess, like putting out things like more on a it just like happened last week and I'm gonna put it up like the next week. Like, it's so hard to do that for me because like I work too as well full time, and then it's like I'm trying to pursue like being a freelance photographer, and it's like YouTube is kind of like almost just like the fun place, but then it's like, you know, that YouTube can afford you maybe some opportunities that can help you out with your freelance.
100%.
But yeah, I had two RB67s. It's wild because I bought one. It was like February 2019, but I don't think I first put a video out until like maybe August. So I'd had it for a while and I'd just been shooting, but it was just like, oh, I have this again. I was like, oh, I have this other stuff that I want to, that I just want to put out, and I'll just keep using this. And when I'm ready to talk about it, you know, I will. And yeah, I would say more film wise, yeah, a lot of people did find me through that way. It's just like, I just went to the shop and I like bought one, and then I came across another one where the body was only like, it was only like $200. And I was like, well, I'm going to buy the body because I have two lenses and I have another back and I don't need anything else for it. And I had two, and I don't have them anymore, but I wanted to keep them. And then have my RZ as well, but it was just like, okay, these cameras, they're just gonna sit like
it looks really good.
But I was like, somebody, you know, maybe they can use them. And I was like, well, maybe I could use the money. So I was like, I guess I'll sell it. But
for sure, been there.
It was just a lot of fun. I just, when I put those videos out, I never expected anything from it. I was just like, I'm just a guy with these cameras, like I just want to tell people like about this. And then I feel like I didn't even, that's a whole nother side, I guess, of film that I didn't even really think about, you know, like 120. It's like, oh, okay, I knew 35, but I feel like at the time, shout out to Willem, he's like the whole the whole king of the film stuff on YouTube. But I feel like I found his channel, say, maybe right at the end of 2018. And his earlier stuff, he was doing a lot of portrait things. And it was like, I think it was like with the RZ and maybe like the Mamiya 645. And it just random homepage thing. And I clicked on his page and I remember finding his channel was like only like 10,000 subs. And I was just like, damn, like who's this dude like making this cool stuff? I'm like, I've never seen or heard of this type of camera before. I'm like, okay. So I just kind of like got interested. And then it really just opened up a whole new world of YouTube. As you know, just like you said, Timothy, just researching this camera. And the next thing you know, it's like all these other people pop up. And then it's like, okay, you might have went to them for the camera, but then it's like, I like you. Like, I'm going to continue watching like what you do or whatever. So yeah, the RB67 stuff, definitely like out there. And I think even in the video, I was just like, I was like, oh yeah, I just got back from London or whatever, but these are like the two cameras I have. I was like, I just want to tell you about them. I think my mic had like broke for the video, so I was like, all right, well, I'm just gonna make this. And then I put it up, but I don't think it really started getting any traction until like 3 or 4 months later after it had been up. So yeah, just kind of, I guess before then, I was just like, I would just uploading things that I was just creating, and then I just hopped in front of the camera. I think they were right at the beginning of like 2019, and then I was just kind of like talking through a lot of my experiences stuff from my Europe trip, and I made it kind of like a bunch of videos and stuff kind of like around that. And then just kind of like transformed, and I feel like my channel is just more kind of like a documentation of things I've got up to, and things I kind of just like want to share, more like, I guess, entertainment driven. But then like, if you can take something from it, you know, that maybe I'm doing to maybe shorten your steps or just like inspire you to get out to like take photos, like that's cool as well. And then I think I'm just at a point too where like I have a bunch of stuff and I know how I'm trying to like navigate, but it's so hard to like just keep up with all of it. But
it's a
ton of fun though.
I feel like I'm like kind of stuck right now. I like have no idea what I want to do next, and I'm just like in my own way about it. And like every day that like every weekend that passes, or every day I have off, I'm like, I should be doing a video. You know, it's like
I feel that, Chris. Like it's so weird. I think one of the beautiful things about YouTube though is, even though we may be doing like one thing, like that curiosity, we can always like, you know, go and do those things. And I feel like with, you know, it's like your channel is not like, oh, like it's just, I don't know, like a portrait or whatever, you know, it's like your name. And I feel like whenever it's your name, you can just do whatever you want, you know. You're not necessarily kind of like pigeonholing yourself into one thing, which absolutely there's nothing like wrong with that. But I feel like for me, like with like my personality, I'm like, dude, I'm into so many different things,
right?
Like,
right.
And it makes it hard. I think it does make it hard, because it's like, well, if you want to create maybe some type of financial opportunity for yourself, it might be smart to kind of like, oh, do this mm-hmm. one thing for like a while, because then it's like, okay, maybe that's what you become like known for or whatever. Yeah. And it's like, at the end of the day, like, it's like not about numbers or whatever, but it's like, we know those numbers create opportunity for right. ourselves, and maybe that'll make Definitely. That'll make things easier for us, so we can like fully step into that side of creativity. So I it's something I feel like I battled that a lot myself. I'm like, because I sometimes I feel like I have such a specific way of like how I want to try to like do things, and then mm-hmm. it'll like hold things up. And I've mm-hmm. had that like, oh damn, I should be filming a video, but then it's like, I don't even feel prepared to like do it the way that I want to do it. Or it's like, yeah. oh, I'm editing these photos and I need to get these back to these people, so this takes precedent. And then it just yeah. days go by.
Seriously.
I love YouTube for the aspect of like a journal. It's for me, it's yeah. really just a kind of like a time capsule of, I was actually recommended one of my own videos not too long ago.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh man, like I forgot all about this. And just watching it was like, oh man, there's 4th Street, there's this, there's that.
It's wild.
Oh, I shot those pictures there. You know, it's just like really cool. Because I mean, just through generations, you know, think about mm-hmm. like our grandparents shooting Super 8, and then our parents shooting VHS yeah. and all that stuff. And it's just like really cool to have these. And we're given this opportunity to kind of share our lives and stories with the world. Because exactly. I mean, I don't know about you, when I go thrifting and stuff and I find some slides like at Goodwill or something,
yeah.
you know, I'm like looking them up and yeah. oh man, they're at, you know, the pyramids or something.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
it's just really cool to get a like a snap of other people's lives too. So yeah.
that totally. Last part,
I don't know where I was going with that.
Nah, that yeah. last part, what you said. Getting the snap of people's lives, I think that's like what I enjoy the most, because I feel like with a lot of people that I've watched, even before like I discovered like film again, like people like Joe Allen, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of him, but he's like a travel travel photographer, like filmmaker, like based out of London. And then somebody else I've watched like for a while, his name is YC Imogen, and he shoots like a lot of like music videos and just like a lot of filmmaking work and stuff. And to go from watching them for 2-3 years to like actually meeting them and having a relationship,
yeah.
like that is crazy to me. It's like, wow, we really just transcended like just this internet relationship
yeah.
to like, oh, like I actually know you. And yeah, it's just been like way cool to kind of like have relationships develop like that. And I feel like I've had that in a lot of different ways, like through doing YouTube and just being able to, you know, go back and watch these things of, you know, your diary entry, so to speak, I think is super powerful. One thing I like to say or think about is just like the videos I make, they're essentially kind of like just for me, you know,
yeah.
but it's like, if
oh,
you
yeah.
can embrace like whatever it is that I'm doing, if maybe we can have community around that or have it start a conversation or whatever, I think that's like way cool. And I feel like when you just out there, yeah, just creating for yourself, you kind of get into this place of like, it's, I guess, the longevity of it, you know, you're kind of like in it for the long haul, because
yeah.
it's just like, it's just your journey. So like whatever you're doing, like you're never gonna have stuff to like run out or run out stuff to, I can't even get my words all mixed up. You'll never have stuff to run out of. I don't even know if I'm
yeah.
saying that the right
yeah.
way, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You're gonna always have stuff to talk about. So I feel
right.
like even like for you, Chris, like I'm sure there's like plenty that, you know,
yeah.
it's just like about kind of just picking one thing and just being like, okay, I'm gonna do this and just
right.
like kind of go after it. Cause yeah, I feel like sometimes, yeah, I definitely get in my own way. And
that's
like
the worst.
I'm actually the holdup
yeah.
to like what's going on.
Yeah,
what's
me.
The hold up?
Me.
Oh, wait, it's me.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh. It's hard.
Yeah, Chris, I think you should do one for you. You
yeah.
know what I mean? Do something that might not necessarily hit it out of the park. Just something that you're interested in. Like, this is my whatever.
Oh, you
thing,
see that,
you know?
That box right there?
I do.
Oh, is
so,
that unboxing?
Yeah, well, I don't know if I'm going to unbox it. It is a camera. But so I was talking to my mom recently and she like, so I was consider myself like, I was vlogging before it was like a thing. Like in high school.
Mm.
I shot.
Are those the VHSs?
So it's not the tapes. I ended up buying because I was like, Mom, can you please find the camera? Because all the tapes we saved, like, you know, a little square, like,
yeah,
VHSC, I think it was. So they're like the ones that you could either watch in the camera or put into the like little tape thing.
Cartridge thing.
So I basically, like, from memory, tried to remember which camera it was. And I found it on eBay, pretty sure.
Oh, sweet.
So,
No spoilers.
Yeah. So I'm thinking about either shooting something with that. Like, maybe, like, it's so funny because I, like, remember some of the footage, but I'm like, so what really inspired me, have you guys seen, what's her name? The actress who played Punky Brewster. I can never remember her name.
Were talking about this. Yes. Yeah,
if I've mentioned this before.
I know who you mean.
I'm so sorry, but she.
I don't think you did on the show.
Okay.
But
she put out a crazy documentary of her, like, life in the 90s, and it was in Hollywood with, like Leonardo DiCaprio, like, all these, like, famous people. Wild. When they were, like, super young. And I was watching this, and I was like, I was doing that with, like, my friends in my hometown. And I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but I'm going to try to shoot something in that same style because, now when you shoot a vlog, at least you're like pointing the camera at yourself. But back then it was always pointing out. You know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I might do a little project with that. If
just get out there.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I love it.
We'll be right back with a listener question for Vince right after this message from our sponsor.
Support for Analog Talk comes from Polaroid. Use the promo code ANALOGTALK10 on your first purchase on film at Polaroid.com.
Just wanted to pop in here real quick and let you guys know about our Patreon-only develop and hang nights. Now, this is a Patreon-only exclusive. They're a ton of fun. We've done a bunch already. It's just a group of us. We get together, we hang out, we develop film, we talk shop, we laugh. It's just a really good time. And Patreon is the best way to help support the show. So if that sounds like something you're interested in, head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. Thanks, guys. All right, guys, this is a part of the show where we break off and take a question from one of our listeners. And this week's question comes from Kelsey Smith Photography. And they wanted to know, how do you go about picking color palettes for your portraits? It's a pretty cool question.
That's a fun question. Shout out to Kelsey. Thank you so much for asking the question. Much love to you. Color palette is very, very, very important for me. You don't always have to be, because you can do a juxtaposition. But for me, more often than not, the location and whatever the person is wearing, it needs to match. It needs to be cohesive for me. Even if you're just shooting like a street portrait, you know, you may spot someone like on the street, but maybe where you saw them, you might not actually want to take their photo. There may be like a couple steps away where maybe it might work better. And sometimes, you know, you're not always seeing the full background, but, you know, you can still see those colors like bleed through. So I feel like just thinking about what is complementary, sometimes it may be hard to try to find that. So one thing that I do is I get out and location scout as much as I can, like prior to the shoot, to think about, okay, what would work for like the styling. Sometimes the styling will come first. Sometimes the location will come first. Sometimes it's like about making it work. I think the biggest thing you can do is just like adapt. So pre-planning is important for like color palette. You know, if you're wanting to shoot like some blue and like yellows, or you know, just complementary colors. It's so wild. It's like I feel like I'm pretty good at it, and I can't even think of the color wheel on my head. But if you just basically Google the like color wheel, you can see those opposite colors of what is like cohesive and just like what naturally, I guess, like attracts your eye. I feel like that's such a, I don't know if the answer is like super direct,
right,
but just thinking about what is complementary, what sticks together. And I think, you know, for me, I like using colors a lot. I like to have things pop. There's just something about that just like attracts me. So I feel like it's, I don't know, maybe it comes natural a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a little bit of natural. Maybe it's a little bit of like just trying to be intentional, but it's something I do think about. Yeah. So Kelsey, I hope that answers the question.
Yeah.
I know it's a little bit all around, but just think about it, pre-plan, talk to whoever you're shooting that you're taking portraits of, and let them know the location. Maybe they may have an outfit or something that goes in line with that, that fits with their style. And just have that open communication and a location scout. Huge.
Love it.
And that's why I shoot black and white.
Hey, but could different colors show up different on black and white?
They do. You're right.
Certain colors will just, they come out different to make that black and white pop. I love black and white though too. 100%.
Yeah.
Definitely. All right. We got to ask you the tough questions.
Okay.
All right. So it's the old desert island question. You can only choose one of your children. On the island, there is a little film shack, as we've all seen with our new t-shirts, and unlimited developing technician film, all that fun stuff on this island that you somehow batteries. Are still stuck on.
Yeah.
Yeah, batteries. But you can only choose one camera, and what's it going to be and why?
You see, I've actually been thinking about this question all day, because I knew it was coming. And I feel like Chris asked a very important question at the beginning. And I was like, well, you know, I could name something that's not film, then everyone can hate me. And then I was like, well, then if I pick something that's film, then I can't shoot video. And I'm like, well, maybe. Does it have to be a camera that we own currently?
Well, yeah, this part of the question.
For the desert island, okay. Yes. Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I feel like a part of me wants to just be like, okay, I'll just bring my Fuji X-T3. That way I can take some photos, but then I can shoot some video. But since this is photography focused, I'll say... I feel like, you know, this doesn't even feel like what I would naturally do, but I feel like this makes most sense. I feel like I would do like my Contax G2, because if I'm on the island, I'm doing a lot of walking, you know, I want something that's light.
Yep.
I feel like that would make the most sense. You know, there's batteries there. We'll be all right. You know, those expensive electronic film cameras, you know, spend the money on them. It's okay.
Uh-huh.
It's okay.
Yep, yep.
That makes the most sense. I'm going to be sensible. I'll go with that. And yeah, just the 35mm lens on it. I think that would be a lot of fun, you know?
That's my setup. Yeah. I have the G1 with the 35.
Oh, it's so much fun. It's fun.
I think that's the first G2 that we got in the desert.
Oh, you think?
I think so.
It's a great answer.
Maybe a G... we probably had the G1 before.
It makes most sense. I can't walk around with the RZ.
Yeah,
like,
it's too heavy, especially if it's going to be hot on the island.
It's
going to
be hot. Like, nah, you know, you just want a quick snap. Like, you know, feet in the sand. Easy.
Love it. Dude,
great answer. Great answer. All right, this one is a little easier, I feel like, but it's the white whale camera. So it's something that you've either shot before and you know, you've always wanted, or a camera that you've always seen somebody have and you just always had that desire to own it or shoot it.
Okay.
What are you thinking?
I'm
on
almost
that
referencing kind of like what I said again, because it's like it's so hard, you know. I feel like the cameras that I have right now, I feel like I don't really need anything else, like photo wise, you know. Like I have like my RZ, I have my G2, I have like a C220 that's like on loan. It's not really mine, but then it like kind of is, you know. It's like one of those things that eventually it just becomes yours.
Right.
So I have that, my AE1. Can I say like two, like a photo and video?
Sure.
Is that fair?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
We'll let you do that.
There we go. There's an exception to the rule always. Yeah. So I think photo wise, I don't know. I feel like I am the typical like film person, like even with the cameras I own, but it's just like they just create good images. Along with your eye too, you know, it's only part of the battle. But I feel like it would be nice to have a good like medium format like walk around. I feel like a lot of people dig the Mamiya 7, but I feel like it would be cool to have the 6 just because it's like compact, you know. And square format is just kind of weird, and I kind of like that. So
I like it too.
Just the compact design of it is cool, how the lens will kind of like retract into the body. A couple years ago I did look at one, I just never pulled the trigger. So I feel like that would be cool. I've talked a little bit about it like the last couple months and everything with a few friends. Like that would be a nice camera just to bring and walk around with and meet up with people, you know.
Dude, definitely. It's such a cool camera.
Medium format. And then video wise like filmmaking, I feel like I've been looking a lot at like cinema cameras. And I think it would just be more so like, it wouldn't necessarily be a camera I use like for YouTube. Maybe there'd be opportunities I would, but I guess just like shooting like documentary work, just helping tell like other people's stories. Like that's another thing that I'm interested into as well. I've done it a little bit, actually working on a project right now on that. So if you guys are listening to this, it might be out already. maybe the Blackmagic 6K, like that would be cool.
Okay.
Yeah, just fun. I don't know. I'm into that. I'm into that.
Those cameras.
I'm into it too.
Have you ever seen those cameras, Timothy?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure.
They're like real nice.
Yeah, I don't know.
And they're not outrageously priced.
Nah, either. They're a good point. They're a good price point. That's why I'm like, okay, I see that. That's realistic, you know. I don't know. I just watched like a video the other day on like someone's like handheld rig, And I was just like, damn, that's nice.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I want that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's a good answer.
Those two. I'd rock out with those.
Great answers. Mm-hmm. Great answers.
Well, I'm happy. This is a great episode.
This was good.
Yeah, thank you guys so much.
Yes, Vince. So where can everybody check out your work, your YouTube, Instagram, all that stuff?
So it's just Vincent Perry Jr., like on everything, pretty much whatever social media you can think of, except Snapchat, because I'm not in high school. I'm kidding. I know there's people out there that use it, but I deleted it a long time ago. But yeah, just Vincent Perry Jr. on everything. Yeah, I'm just out there. Just shoot me a message, reach out. Thank you guys so much for having me on the show. Like, this is fun. Just kind of like a super surreal moment, just to go from like listening to like so many people to like actually talking and everything like that. So, you know, I'm thankful for the opportunity to like talk shop. And
oh, dude,
like,
we're same here.
Yeah, we're happy have this to
space,
have you.
Have this space to like talk and everything. That's super important. So thank you guys so much for the platform. Really appreciate it.
Of course.
Definitely.
Timothy, where can everybody check you out?
Guys, you can head over to Instagram. It's at Timothy Makeups. I also have some older YouTube videos that I did many years ago. Easiest way to find those is just go to the search bar and type in Timothy Makeups. That's it for me. Chris, where are you?
So I am Crispy Photo on all the things, even Snapchat, I think. We are Analog.
I'm going to have to re-download that.
We are Analog Talk Pod on Twitter, Analog Podcast on Instagram. We have a Facebook group you can join and a page you can like, and that's it.
Yeah.
Vince, thank you. This is great.
Thank you guys so much.
We had a blast. Appreciate it. All right, guys. We'll see you in the next one. Bye.
All right. First off, we want to thank Vince for coming on the show. Thanks, man, for taking the time and just hanging out with us. Chris and I had such a great time. It was great getting to hear your backstory and all about your trips around the world and your model shoots. It was just really interesting, and it was great getting to chat with you. Thanks again, Vince, for taking the time. Guys, it's going to take us to Patreon. Head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. For even a buck, you can get the show 2 days early. That means we post on a Wednesday, and you'll get it on a Monday. It's pretty cool. We also have a bunch of other stuff over there. Chris and I are doing solo shows. We have our develop and hang nights, which are just a ton of fun, and it's a blast getting to hang out with you guys on a monthly basis. If that sounds like something you'd be interested in, head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. We have a bunch of other stuff over there. It's just a ton of fun, and for all the patrons that help support the show, we do not know what we would do without you. We love you guys. You are the best. So that's going to be it for this week's episode. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. Thanks for hanging. Hope you guys are doing great out there. Hope you guys are still shooting and all that stuff. And until next week, we'll see you soon. Have a good week, guys. Later.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.